Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, completing today 5 talks on the subject of deliverance from depression. Someone sent me this article called The Dark Side of Love. This was in a Christian magazine. And this man writes, I've seen their pain, and I must honestly state that I don't have the answer. You can find them almost anywhere. People who became vulnerable to the irresistible pull of love's call and are now nearly crushed as a consequence. Sincerity, idealism, passion, caring, name it what you will, these people were motivated to give themselves selflessly to others, to love their neighbors as themselves. Love took on many expressions: feeding the hungry, church planting among super-resistant Muslims, struggling to free those trapped under the tyranny of oppressive governments, creatively working to interrupt the cycle of poverty that imprisons generation after generation of urban poor, patiently slogging through the jungle of emotions with teenage victims of sexual abuse and dysfunctional families. The reward for these love givers was not the miracle of changed lives and grateful hearts. On the contrary, their efforts were rewarded with estrangement from the closest of family members, biting criticism, firing from ministry positions, bankruptcy, and divorce. What was once the vanguard of gentle, tender, sacrificial servants became the bedraggled company of bitter, crushed, and confused prisoners of compassion. Integrity requires us to reject the simple answers and mindless rehearsal of Bible verses that so easily flow from the mouths of those who have never entered the vulnerable territory of passionate loving. A dreadful darkness and unutterable pain have become companions of these angels of mercy, and our insensitive verbal prescriptions only move them further down the tunnel of despair. Sometimes I've stood at the cliff's edge of that valley of pain. I've been consumed in those moments by fear, a gripping panic that I was only a breath's nudge away from falling over. And sometimes I've been tempted in the agony of those moments to step over the edge and fully lose myself in the pain. Complete darkness appeared a more welcome friend than the call to stay in the unbearable light. Some may think me crazy to paint a picture of such ravaging hopelessness. But then I say, such people have never entered into the fellowship of Jesus, who screamed out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? And a darkness covered the earth. I have interviewed Christian leaders who have told me that in all of their decades of ministry, they have never known difficulty. Rather, their companion has simply been the joy of the Lord. For them, the harshest of words are reserved. They're either liars or deluded lunatics who years ago bought a ticket to Disneyland and never found the way out. Their words are poison to the sick-hearted, chains for the downtrodden. Now, I want to make you very aware that that was not Elizabeth Elliot speaking. That was reading from an article that someone had sent me from a Christian magazine, and the person was asking for my comments on this. I was appalled to think that if we give a scripture verse to someone who is in deep darkness, we're really doing the only thing we can do sometimes. If it's given in a glib and offhand way, of course, it may not be received. It may not be received even if we give it in the most loving way, but it is the Word of God. And on this program, it is my earnest prayer and hope that the Lord will enable me to speak His words with love, with compassion, and always with the willingness to be judged myself by the standards of Scripture and to live by those standards. Now, what's wrong with this article? I believe that it is never necessary for a Christian to become bitter. And I do believe that we can learn to accept anything and everything that happens in the light of Romans 8:28. And that's a verse, of course, that people don't want to hear sometimes. It says, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. When we're in the dark valley or going through the deep water, we don't see why or how this can fit in. But we are not asked to see. We are asked to trust. In Hebrews 3, verses 6 to 9, we read, "But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast." It's a pretty big if, isn't it? We are his house, Christ's house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. So, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. You see, God is pointing out there that the response of most of those people in the wilderness, people of Israel, was not a godly response. Their hearts were going astray. They would not consider the Lord's ways, and they tested and tried God, even though they could see the miracles that God was doing for them. It was also God that was leading them through that waste, howling wilderness. It was the Lord himself who took them to the bitter waters of Marah in order that they might see that even in the bitter waters there could be sweetness when the tree was thrown into that water. That's an Old Testament forecast of what the cross can mean to us. There's a hymn that says, "Bane and blessing." Bane is a word we don't use much, B-A-N-E. It means trouble. "Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure, by the cross are sanctified." And now here's a letter from Evelyn Underhill, written in 1932. She says, "You are very often in my thoughts, for I know what a desperately hard time you must be having and how much prudence as well as courage you will need to get really on your feet again and recover your hold on life. In a way, the fact that you accepted the sacrifice so fully in the first instance may possibly make the inevitable psychological reaction especially severe. I hope that may not be so. But if it is, my dear, and you are troubled by uprushes of bitter or violent feeling, rebellious thoughts, exasperated nerves, lack of interest, or any of the other miseries by which our unstable psyche makes us pay for great strain, do not blame yourself too much. Do not get frightened. But reckon this in as the result of the heavy blow which has, as it were, left a bruise on the subconscious that may work out in one of these humiliating ways. Consider that this, too, is suffering. And therefore, and this is the most important part, therefore can be humbly offered to God. Offer your suffering to God. Do not try to struggle with the situation and its difficulties, but so far as is in your power, turn from it to other things. In this case, obviously, a special love and interest in your other children. Fill your mind with them and every detail of their time. If you do go away for a bit, let it be to a place where your interest and attention is filled with active work and you have no time for silence and meditation and living through it all in thought. When it all seems unbearable, talk about it. Do not brood or practice suppression. When you find in your prayers that you are moving away from thoughts of God to thoughts of your own unhappiness, stop. Get up. Read if you can. If not, do not hesitate to turn to some active occupation. Short aspirations, constant thoughts of and appeals to God will be better than long prayers just now. Now that's a very simple, compassionate letter to someone who had obviously been going through some deep waters. And the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. To me, that's one of the most comforting words in Scripture. Also, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you, but what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." We don't need to collapse, in other words. James 1:12 says, "Happy is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Don't be bitter. Take it to the foot of the cross. Get down on your knees. Perhaps this might be a gesture that would help you. It helps me. Get down on your knees. Put your feelings, the hurt feelings, the bitterness, the anger, whatever it is, in your hands, as it were, and just lift up your hands to the Lord and say, "Lord, I can't handle this, but I know you can. And so I relinquish it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I will not retrieve it."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.